The silence was unnerving after several days at sea, crossing from America with the constant grinding of the ship's engines, quiet now in the Atlantic waters off North Africa. But it didn't last long. In the early hours, bells clanged, and then soldiers heard an anchor chain's rattle, barked orders, heavy and frantic footsteps, power winches whirring as they started to lower landing craft into the white-capped water. A radio played. 24-year-old Lieutenant Maurice Footsie Britt, to his surprise, heard the voice of President Franklin D. Roosevelt announce that the invasion of North Africa had already begun. "We figured he had jumped the gun a little," Britt later remembered. "After all, we were still 8 miles from shore." Then blonde-haired Britt, all 220 pounds of him, took his place in his landing craft. Finally, the craft headed toward the shore. The seas as far as the horizon were dotted with transports. Britt belonged to the 3rd Division's 30th Infantry Regiment, whose motto was, "Our country, not ourselves." He was one of 35,000 green American troops in Western Task Force, commanded by General George S. Patton, one of 3 forces attacking French Morocco and Algeria in 3 areas of a 1,000-mile-long coastline, stretching all the way from Safi on the Atlantic to Algiers. The arrival of the first Americans in Europe to fight the Axis powers came at a critical point in the war. After enjoying stunning success against the British 8th Army through 1941 and much of 1942, General Erwin Rommel and his famed Afrika Corps were now on the defensive, having been defeated at El Alamein in Egypt less than a week earlier. In all, the torch landings, the first joint operation of the war by the Americans and the British, comprised more than 100,000 troops backed by 350 warships from 7 Allied navies. The Americans had tried to negotiate an armistice with the French in recent days, but to no avail, and so an order had come from on high to Britt's division. "Okay, boys, let's play ball." Dawn was now breaking off the coast of North Africa. In the far distance, men could make out the steeple of a Catholic church rising above the port of Fedala. There was the sound of machine gun fire. Bright red tracers spat across the lightening sky. Ahead loomed a flat, broad beach a couple of miles to the east of Fedala. Britt heard the drone of French bombers and then saw huge fountains of spray as bombs crashed into the sea. "It was a pretty sight," he remembered, "until suddenly we realized with a sickening feeling that the men in these bombers were trying to kill us." No lectures on the subject, no crawling under carefully aimed machine gun fire will ever make a soldier. He becomes one the instant he realizes the gunfire he hears is intended to kill him. Britt's landing craft ground ashore. Men began to unload it, but then there was a deafening rattle of fire, and Britt looked up and saw a French plane diving toward him, strafing his regiment. There had been no pre-invasion bombardment, in the hopes that the French would not put up any resistance. Many of Britt's fellow invaders carried American flags, figuring the French would be less likely to fire on U.S. troops. The flags made no difference. Britt and his men stopped unloading the craft, headed for safety across the beach, and then moved inland. By midday, they had reached a pre-assigned assembly area near a road bridge. Then Britt returned to the beach with a sergeant to salvage the jeeps and equipment he'd been forced to leave in the landing craft. "The first edge of my excitement was beginning to dull, and when another strafing plane came over, I hit the beach in utter terror, digging madly into the sand.